And we turn to this weekend's protests and the big debate over the extension of an oil pipeline from Canada into the United States. As the U.S. tries to navigate between clean energy and economic growth, as well as energy dependence versus drilling, the president's upcoming decision is increasingly seen as a crucial test by all sides. Thousands of people marched on the National Mall in Washington yesterday, braving a cold winter wind to take part in what organizers call the biggest climate rally in U.S. history. They call for President Obama to reject the proposed Keystone XL oil pipeline.
The reason I came here today is because I feel like President Obama is convincible. And I feel like if we make a statement with our numbers and our passion, he'll get the message.
The Keystone Project is designed to move crude oil, hundreds of thousands of barrels a day, that would be extracted from the oil sands of northern Alberta in western Canada. The oil would be transported across several U.S. states to refineries and ports in Texas. The company behind the 1,700-mile pipeline, TransCanada, has altered the route to largely bypass a water deposit in Nebraska. But protest organizers insisted the pipeline still threatens land it crosses and will mean even greater carbon pollution.
The president needs to think about what his legacy is going to be. 50 years from now, no one's going to care about the fiscal cliff. They're going to ask, the Arctic melted in 2012, and then what did you do? And this is the chance to do the right thing.
The Keystone Project has been pending for more than 4 years. In 2011, the president called for further study. But supporters of the multi-billion dollar pipeline have argued it will create thousands of jobs and reduce reliance on oil from the Middle East. Last month, 44 Republicans in the U.S. Senate, joined by 9 Democrats, called for the president to approve Keystone. Mr. Obama has given no direct signal about his intentions. But in his State of the Union address last week, he promised action on the broader climate issue.
Over the last 4 years, our emissions of the dangerous carbon pollution that threatens our planet have actually fallen. But for the sake of our children and our future, we must do more to combat climate change.
To that end, the administration is also mulling tougher rules to curb emissions from coal-fired plants in a push toward cleaner energy. As for Keystone, the State Department oversees cross-border pipelines and could release its recommendation as early as March. We have our own debate now on the pending decision and the many issues at stake. Bob Deans is with the NRDC. That's the Natural Resources Defense Council, one of many groups organizing yesterday's protests. And Scott Siegel is a lobbyist and partner with the firm of Bracewell and Giuliani. The firm represents a number of energy companies pushing for the Keystone extension. Gentlemen, welcome to you both. So, Bob Deans, let me start with you. What is the main harm done if this pipeline extension happens?
Well, the main idea here is to take some of the dirtiest oil on the planet, pipe it through the breadbasket of America so it can be sent overseas out of the Gulf of Mexico. It's not about American jobs. It's about profits for big oil companies. It's a bad idea. It needs to be denied.
But if it's going through a pipeline, what's the concern?
Well, we've had a lot of disasters with pipelines, of course. The Kalamazoo River, 30 miles of that river, was destroyed 2 years ago by a pipeline incident using these kinds of tar sands crude. It's bad stuff, and these accidents do put this heartland at risk. And the thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs, we have 250,000 farms and ranches in those Great Plains states that your map just showed. Those are the real jobs in that region. We need to protect them, not put them at risk.
And you're saying they would be harmed by?
They would certainly be put at risk by having this tar sands crude going through there. But even more importantly, Judy, we talked about climate change. This tar sands crude requires 3 to 4 times the carbon inputs to produce that conventional crude oil does. It's a disaster for climate change. We need to turn it down.
So Scott Siegel, he's raising a number of concerns having to do with the oil itself and the impact of the kind of work that would be done to get it out of those tar sands. Mm-hmm. What do you say in response?
Well, I'm afraid I disagree with most of the discussion that's gone on so far. First of all, if we are truly concerned about carbon, it seems to me building a state-of-the-art pipeline which is the most efficient way to get to move oil around, is the best approach. To move that oil to the west and to send it to China on tankers that are fueled by diesel, it leaves a much greater carbon footprint. In addition, that oil will make it to the United States, whether there's a Keystone pipeline or not. And in the event it makes it to the United States, it will come by other forms of transportation, which are far less energy efficient, thus deepening that footprint.
So you're saying it would go to other countries and then come to the U.S. by ship?
I would say there are two options. It's either going to go to China or come to the United States. And in either event, the carbon footprint will be deeper. The further point about whether or not an oil pipeline somehow endangers the land across which it crosses, I think has been asked and answered so many times it's no longer a relevant consideration. Look, the map of the United States is literally a spider web of oil and product pipelines. And
You're saying already.
The fact of the matter is, the chances of sustaining a spill of oil out of an oil pipeline is one quarter the amount of alternative forms of transportation were we to take those oil pipelines away and take them in a different mechanism.
Bob Deans, what about that second point first? There was already so many pipelines in the U.S., and the rate of spills or problems with that is so low.
Well, the reason we have these pipelines is because we've been addicted to fossil fuels for more than a century now. We need to turn away from that. We need to begin using less oil. We're using 10% less now than we did when President Obama took office because we're using more renewables, we're more efficient. We need to continue investing and moving in that direction, not building more infrastructure to support the ruinous fossil fuels of the past that are driving and accelerating this climate disaster.
You want to respond to that?
We're using less oil now because we're in a recession. And the hope is, in fact, the number one priority of President Obama is that we make an economic recovery and come out of that recession. The notion that we will depend on less efficient forms of energy like solar and wind exclusively, or worse yet, on energy conservation alone at a time when we're trying to grow ourselves out of a recession is unrealistic, is damaging to the economy, and frankly, will not be the alternative that will be chosen. We are in an oil-based economy, and we should have the type of energy security which allows us to have defendable supply lines and not pay for our oil to those who want to do harm to the United States.
May I say something? Clean energy jobs are now employing 3.1 million Americans around the country. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. These jobs have grown almost out of nowhere over the past decade at a time when we've lost 4.5 million manufacturing jobs. These jobs have been a bright spot in a tough economy for 3 million American families.
Let me ask you about the other points that he's raised. One is that the oil, if it doesn't come through this pipeline, it's going to eventually get to the U.S. anyway, and it's going to come through potentially dirtier sources that use more or expend more carbon. And the other argument that if the U.S. doesn't use this oil, it's going to go to other countries anyway, that it's going to get used somewhere on the planet.
Well, here's the thing. These tar sands are in the boreal forest, one of the last wild places on the planet. We've already destroyed, made an industrial wasteland out of a part of that forest the size of Chicago. That needs to stop. Alberta, where these tar sands are, is a long way from Shanghai. That oil's not going to China unless it goes out of the west coast of Canada. They won't build a pipeline there because the Canadian people don't want it crossing their farms, their salmon streams, their native lands, and we respect that.
No, the Canadians have already said they are in favor of a pipeline. The problem is not with the Canadian polity. The problem here is with a few elite environmentalist organizations that are trying to stop 20,000 jobs in construction, trying to stop a multiplier effect of many more jobs in the manufacturing sector, and $20 billion net contribution to the U.S. economy, all for very specious environmental and safety concerns.
Judy, complete nonsense. We had 30-some thousand people from all over the country assembled by the Washington Monument yesterday and marched to the People's House, the White House, to say, I talked to these people. I was out there. There were people from New Orleans. They'd come up all the way from Louisiana. There were people from Maine. There were people from Nebraska. There were people from all over this country and from all walks of life, farmers, students, businessmen, folks who are saying we need to turn away from the fossil fuels of the past, invest in efficiency and renewables, and build a 21st century economy on new fuels.
And many, many, many more work in industry in the 20 industrial sectors which are energy intensive and trade exposed in this country that depend on reliable and affordable supplies of energy. Even the steel workers who were opposed to this at one point now appear to be coming around and are likely to support the pipeline because they know the steel itself is sourced here in the United States.
Let me finally ask you both, what's at stake ultimately here, Scott Siegel, if this pipeline is not built, in your view?
In my view, the United States loses on the energy security front. The United States loses on the job creation front. The United States gains absolutely nothing from either a global climate change or a protection of wild areas because we already have a dependence on these pipelines and a significant network of them. All that happens is the president becomes embarrassed in front of our number one trading partner, the Canadians, and all for no net benefit.
And what's at stake from your perspective?
You know, the climate, Judy. We just finished the hottest year on record in this country. We lost 50% of our corn across the heartland, 60% of our pasture lands. We had ranchers liquidating their herds from the Rocky Mountains to the Ohio River Valley because they couldn't afford to feed their cattle anymore. We lost 130 Americans. We did $80 billion worth of damage just from Hurricane Sandy. We have a crisis. This climate chaos needs to end, and that's a conversation we can have with our friends in Canada, because they're working like we are to reduce their carbon footprint. They're working like we are to improve renewables. They're working like we are to do more with less. We need to partner around that, create jobs of the future in Canada and the United States. We're going to do it.
Well, the debate over this pipeline extension goes on, and we thank you both for being here with us tonight. Bob Dean, Scott Siegel, we appreciate it.
Thank you.